I do.
Anybody? any requests? Just name a song. Ned, anything.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
Okay, here we go. One, a two, one, two, three, four. Thank you.
Nice job.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, thanks, man.
That was amazing.
The PTT, paper towel trumpet, shall I call it. Okay, next up. Pretty soon is Dan Buffett, but for John, I promised to tell this joke, a bonus joke. Have not told it since we've been here, so that's one less joke I have to rely on to make it till October 2nd, not repeat a joke, because that's the day we started here. So here it is. Pretty simple. I think most people know it, in case you don't. This guy's walking down the street, and he hears this just incredible sobbing. And it's an old man. It's like a 90-year-old man sitting on the curb just crying. It's the saddest thing. And this guy says, "Hey, partner, everything all right?" He goes, No, it's not. He says, "Well, what's going on? Talk to me." He says, I'm 91, I have a 31-year-old wife, and she's beautiful, and she cooks, and she likes to have sex all the time, and she keeps a perfect house. It's clean and neat, and she likes to do anything I like to do, and she cuts the grass. She feeds the dog. All I have to do is just whatever I want and look at her. And she's unbelievable. And everything about her is unbelievable. She paints. She just painted our room. She painted a whole bedroom herself. And I know that tonight there'll be this incredible meal ready. And then tonight there'll be sex. And the guy goes, "Hey, I don't get it. It sounds great. What are you crying about?" He goes, "I can't remember where I live." there you go, John, with crying sounds and everything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to that point in the week we call Tuesday, and that means that in the 4 o'clock hour, we welcome a guy who loves to talk about movies and TV shows, and he's going to help steer you away from or toward the good ones or the bad ones. He's brought to you by Window World. Well, make sure you understand that Window World makes lots of segments possible here, and this is just one of them. And to thank Window World, you always need to let them know that you know, you heard about them because you're AM and the PM. And if you need replacement windows, for goodness sakes, this is all we ask. Do not make a decision without looking at the window that more people buy is a replacement window than any window in the United States. And there must be a reason for that. In fact, there are several. You'll see when you take a look at Window World. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Give it up for Dan Buffa.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Hold on. Let's I messed it up. I messed it up.
I know you did.
Edit all of what I said out. All of it. No, all of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Radio edit.
Let's all go to the lobby.
That's how we're supposed to start.
Let's all go
well,
to
it's,
the lobby.
It's Tuesday, and that means that this next guy is with us, as he's every Tuesday, brought to you by Window World. This is good for Window World because they get mentioned twice here. Window World makes a lot of segments possible, including this one. If you want to know more, go to WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Give it up, if you would, please, for a man who looks like an ex-convict or a serial killer or like he's a fugitive, but he's not. He's actually just a really nice guy. Dan Buffa.
Hey, how are you doing?
You're doing great. You do have, when you want to, like kind of a mean look. You can, you
I
can,
do.
You can intimidate, and you yell into the microphone. Yeah. Don't you? So with Limey, yell. No. Limey, no. Limey can, no. Limey can back it off a little bit.
Thank you. I've turned the volume.
But you have that ability if you wanted to scare people.
Just
you
to
could.
Walk in and have that scowl. What
yes.
they say.
Yes.
Where's when I'm brooding? Is that when somebody's
brooding?
Really brooding. I'm brooding. Yeah. I'm out there in the deck, the patio, brooding until I come in here.
You have that ability. If you wanted to, you could intimidate people. Are you today?
That means I could be like the fourth lead in an action film, maybe.
You could.
The guy gets killed off in the first scene.
You could, yeah.
But I'm doing good.
Yeah. Good. Did you meet Ned? Ned Spurt?
Ned's a good guy, man. Ned came in here and gave me a tap on the shoulder like I was a player on the team. He's a coach. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Yeah. Who took out Tim? Did I miss news?
Well, Ned needed the week off, and it's just, I guess,
it's the
family,
week off.
Yeah, family right. stuff or whatever. So
new faces.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything I need to share that I've watched. Last night, and I am, I'm almost ashamed to say this. I watched. I can hardly even.
Can I
say,
guess? Can I guess what you watch? Can I get
no? You will not. Tries. You'll never get it. It's a chick flick. You'll never get it.
I was going to say a rock movie finally a Marvel movie.
No. This is an absolute 100% chick flick. I've never seen it. My wife had recorded it. She saw it years ago. Wanted to watch it again. Mm-hmm. Trying to be a good husband, I sat down beside her and I watched this thing. And
good
I can't
man.
Believe I watched it. Eat, Pray, Love. With Julia Roberts.
I'm a Julia Roberts fan, but I didn't care for that movie.
And Javier Bardem. Say what you want to about him, but his wife is Penelope Cruz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's got something.
He's a good
going.
Actor, too. Very good actor.
He is, and he's scary. He's a scary looking
great
guy.
Bond villain.
Yeah. But I watched Eat, Pray, Love, and my goodness, if there was ever a movie that was all just for women. It's this movie.
It's 100% for women.
What?
Did you like it at all?
I am going to admit that I sort of did like it, even though it was a formula movie. It was a formula movie.
Yeah.
You knew exactly what was going to happen. She goes and travels, and she's alone, and she's
you
divorced.
Saw it at home. It didn't cost you a ton of money to go see it. If you saw it in theaters, it may be a little bit less.
Right.
Sometimes it's better when you catch movies a little bit later on.
But there are certain movies that I will not see because of the title, and that's one. If you title a movie Eat, Pray, Love, no, I'm out. I'm not going to go see that in the movie theater. Or anything that has... I don't know, something about the title that just tells you this is for women only. Don't go. There are a few of those.
Brokeback Mountain.
Well, no. No.
That's a great Heath Ledger performance, though. You got an Australian playing a cowboy.
But the one about flowers, there was one with Sissy Spacek and Julie Roberts and a whole bunch of women.
Steel Magnolias?
Yeah, Steel Magnolias.
That was, I liked, was it Tom Skerritt in that movie?
I don't know, because I've never seen it.
He played the Top Gun guy. He has a great role in that movie as the guy that just keeps doing bad stuff around the family. He's shooting off guns at the wedding. It's the best part about that movie. Sally Field was in that movie, too.
I'll tell you another 100% chick flick is that Beaches with Bette Midler. Did you ever see that thing?
Oh.
Where her best friend's dying or something.
I don't think you could get through that one.
No, I don't think you could either.
Tom Skerritt is the guy, yeah. He was a good star in the 80s. But, I don't know, Steel Magnolias had more of a plot to it that it had some good characters
is
in
it,
there.
It's Skerritt, isn't it?
Skerritt? Is it Skerritt?
I think it's Skerritt. But he's Skerritt? Another, when we talk about people who have worked and worked and worked for decades and they're not big names, there's another example, Tom Skerritt.
Tom Selleck and Tom Skerritt and the other brothers in a movie.
I'll tell you another one. The guy, Dabney Coleman.
There's
a guy who's been in 100 movies at least, never
played
an A-lister
lead.
Big top name.
No.
But I got to think steady work sometimes is better than being hot for 3 years and then gone.
I mean, you make like 6 movies in a year. If you're the star, you make maybe 2.
There was a movie that I saw. It was all about ex-wives, and it was called Bitches.
I got to give it to him.
No, you don't.
I got to.
See, for those who just tuned in, we talked about Beaches and
Skerritt.
Skerritt. Yeah. I was
Skerritt.
Wrong.
Okay, so
you
I
were
was,
right.
Oh man,
no, you were right.
Tom Skerritt and Tom Selleck should play brothers in a movie. They look just alike.
Well, they don't look just alike,
but they could pull it off though. And they also both need to work because they haven't done anything in years.
I'm going to give you another name of a guy. He's dead now, but he must have been in 200 movies and maybe dozens of TV shows. Yeah. And hang on, and it'll come to Richard Crenna.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, did that guy work
all the time. He was Rambo's superior.
Yes, he was the guy that taught Rambo's survival
skills.
Basically
talked him down off the ledge.
And he was in, a million years ago, The Real McCoys. He was Luke.
That's right.
He's a good actor. Just a very dependable guy.
Solid, dependable. Yeah, he could be.
How about the dad in The Christmas Story, Darren McGavin?
Yes.
Oh. A great guy.
Another one.
Yeah.
He bought the lamp as a lady.
The leg lamp.
Yeah.
It's the lake lamp.
I do Richard Crenna saying the word no.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you do just the word no, nobody knows if your impression is good or not. I'd like to do now a scene from The Real McCoys where Amos McCoy, Grandpa Amos, it's a hot summer day, and this is not a real episode, I just made this up, but he's offering Luke a glass of lemonade.
Well, it's another hot one out here, ain't it? I tell you something, I'm sweating. I don't think I've ever sweated so much. Got some lemonade here. Kate made. Luke, you want a glass of lemonade?
No.
There it is.
You do a really good Amos McCoy.
Thank you. It's Amos. Amos, not Amos.
Oh.
Amos McCoy. What do you have for us today, Dan?
Well, there's a movie that came out on Friday.
Oh, we're out of time. Sorry. Sorry.
That's it. Just shortest kidding. Segment of the whole kidding. Time. And that's all we have. There's a movie came out on Friday that I think I'm the only critic in the world that liked it. And it's called Mile 22.
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
I did. I teased it. And look, when Peter Berg is the director and Mark Wahlberg, when they make movies together, they make good movies. Lone Survivor, Deepwater Horizon, Patriot's Day. But after making all those true stories, they wanted to make an action film.
And I forgot, you told us why it was called Mile 22. I forgot.
It essentially has to do with the plot. Wahlberg is basically an American intelligence officer. And in this movie, there's three options you have. There's diplomacy, there's the military, and then you have this secret group of black operatives that get jobs done. Of course, off the books. The government doesn't want to know about it, and he leads up this team. And it has Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead. It has Ronda Rousey, the MMA fighter. And they have a special mission. They have to get basically one guy who's played by Iko Uwais to a certain spot 22 miles away.
Now, Ronda Rousey's picture was in USA today this morning.
She's a wrestling star.
My
she
goodness.
Used to be a mixed martial arts star.
I never realized she's actually pretty cute.
She's
gorgeous.
And how can she not have all her teeth knocked out and just be bruised up?
Because a lot of her fights ended in under a minute. I mean, she would submit it. She had basically a move called the arm bar that she would bend an opponent's arm and break it.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of her fights lasted about a minute or
less.
Is
she married?
She is now, yes. I think so.
Damn it.
To a fellow fighter, I think, called Travis Brown. They have a kid, I think.
Boy, if they ever get into it, he's a fighter. She's a fighter.
Woo!
You talk about a domestic dispute.
You should have seen the first dance at the wedding. Holy moly.
I don't get that one.
No, nobody did.
Well, they were fighting.
But, Dad.
They were both fighters.
Let me explain about comedy.
That's two times. Dan's taking chances today. I like it.
I like it.
He's going for it.
Dan said you should have seen the first dance at the wedding. That doesn't even...
At the reception, yeah. Because they're both fighters, cage fighters.
Limey, you were about to say something.
Yeah, no, there is several pictures online of Ronda Rousey in a painted-on swimsuit. I suggest you check that out.
Maybe she should have an alternate
Sports
name.
Sports Illustrated, right,
maybe
Limey?
She should have an alternate name, Ronda A. Rousey, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thanks, everybody.
But the movie, essentially, this team of operatives, they have to... This guy... Iko Uwais, who was an Indonesian
action
star.
Here's a chick that keeps... they don't even have to hit her and she passes out.
Oh.
Ronda Drowsy.
Oh, look at that!
Now, see, that's comedy. That's comedy right there. Ronda Drowsy.
Okay, but they have about an hour and a half to get this guy to a location. This guy has information on missing nuclear weapons. His name is... Lenore, and he is played by the Indonesian action star who I talked about last week.
The hard name.
Iko Uwais.
Yes.
Iko Uwais, who is essentially a star of the Raid movies, which is 130 minutes of just pure action. He makes his American debut here, and he is a guy that they have to get to this airstrip, and they have 90 minutes and 22 miles. And let's just say that they're going to run into a lot of problems on this trip.
It sounds like it should be good.
It is. I mean, and what I think what people don't like about it, so you have that very simple plot. They have to get this guy to a location. They run into a bunch of bad guys. But there's more to the plot than the trailer, the preview gives you. Because there's something, you don't really trust this guy, Weiss. You know that he has something up his sleeve that the Americans don't know about. And there's also a lot of monologues delivered by Wahlberg about, you know, government power and all that stuff. I think if it had been more of a straight-laced action film and not try to be more than it was, people would have liked it. But I liked it because it's 90 minutes. It moves fast. It does keep you on the edge of your seat. I don't think anybody right now, directors alive right now, there's a director that died years ago called Tony Scott. He's Ridley Scott's brother. Yeah. He did very good, just kinetic action. I mean, that's stuff that was just exhilarating. I think Peter Berg does that. You saw it in Lone Survivor. When those four Navy SEALs get attacked, I mean, they're running through the woods. But I think, and this movie kind of reminds me of Berg's film, The Kingdom. But I liked it, and I was the only guy to come out of that movie. I mean, we come out and we tell people what we thought of the movie, and they're like, you liked it? Every other critic here hated it. Well, you know, I told them, I said, if I told you what every other critic said, what kind of critic would I be? You know, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's not one of their best. I think one of their best movie is still Lone Survivor. Deepwater Horizon was great.
What a
but
fantastic
this movie, I think they just wanted to blow off some steam and make an action film. And
but you're right. Part of what makes those other movies great is their true stories.
Their true stories. And this is just kind of them. And Peter Berg has said that, look, after making three true stories, he just wanted to make an action film. And this is, if you take it as an action film and don't expect too much, I think it's an enjoyable 90 minutes. I
mean, ARDs, did you give them last time the ARDs?
No, I didn't. Right. I'll give it three. It's a solid three out of four.
Here they come.
All right, Dan.
Next.
Now, that's the only movie to open up, so I'm going to jump right to TV.
Right.
But one of our favorite shows is coming back in October, and we got a trailer.
Is this Ray Donovan?
It's Ray Donovan.
Yes.
Ray Donovan. Now, we know by the end of last season they're moving to New York from
Ray,
L.A.
Ray drives a car that I want. He drives a
Mercedes,
CLS 550.
It's just a nice
Mercedes.
Car.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And for all the work that he does, that car never gets any damage.
I know.
It's shiny.
I'm glad you said that.
You know, he gets into a bunch of fights. He's never. He's always got a bruise. It's like, my car looks great.
The car never gets that. Yeah,
just,
you're right.
It's a nice. What is it again?
The
Mercedes
CLS 550.
Yeah, it's a nice black Mercedes, and it never gets a ding on it.
Nope.
But the series is shifting its setting from L.A. to New York, and in this thing. I'm going to go ahead. Look, if you haven't watched it by now, there's going to be some... I'm going to go... I mean, do I have to say something for spoiler alert? Spoiler alert. Should I just go ahead and say that before I...
Yeah, that way...
At the end of last season, it looked like Ray tried to take his own life. He jumped off. His wife had passed away last season, and he just wanted to be done with it.
And I never liked her. She was not
well, I think
the
she
right...
was slowing down the plot.
She was.
And
I don't think she was a good fit for him. Maybe he'll find a hot
she
chick.
Wasn't. And, of course, you know, he met her in Boston, his hometown, but she never approved of his life.
Right.
He's a fixer. So he wanted to take his own life, but, of course, we found out in the trailer that he did live, and now they're in New York. And I tell you, when in this trailer, things have kind of reshaped a little bit. Ray has been gone for a while.
For those of you who have never... Was it Showtime?
Showtime.
For those of you who have never watched Ray Donovan, Ray Donovan, it's... what's his name? Liev Schreiber. He's a... When Dan says he's a fixer, he's a guy that... If let's say you're a famous star or a famous athlete, and then you've got a girl at your place and you gave her too much cocaine and she died, you call Ray and you go, Ray, get over here. I just had a chick die in my apartment. Ray comes over, and by the way, charges a fortune, but
he does.
That will all be cleaned up.
But
he'll
the greatest thing was last season where, what was it, the action star who accidentally sliced off the head of his instructor?
Yes.
His karate instructor.
Fencing or something.
And he goes, Ray, I need some... And Ray knows all the local cops, so he has all the edges. He has all the inside information.
He has people working for him who show up with all the cleaning agents you need to clean the blood. He's the fixer.
Including Stephen Scarface's Stephen Bauer is even on his crew, who was actually missing last season. But in this season, I think some time has passed, and now he's got a beard. He's been gone for a while. But Susan Sarandon, who came on last season, brings him back.
Let me tell you, stop right there. Get Susie even to her. Even at her age, Limey, do you know who Susan Sarandon is?
I absolutely know who Susan Sarandon is.
Is she almost 60 years old?
Oh, she's, I think she, Google, I'm going to say Susan Sarandon, I bet you, is closer to 70 than 60, and there's something dirty hot about her. She always has looked like she needed a shower.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah. How old is she?
We were all
71.
Wrong. She's 71.
Oh, I wasn't wrong. I said 70.
Yeah. 46. She's going to be 72 in October.
Folks, if you ever can find it, stream and watch Atlantic City with Burt Lancaster and Susan Sarandon. There is a scene in that movie where she's at the sink in the kitchen. It's a hot, hot summer day. And she takes lemon juice and drips it down her cleavage. It is.
I'd like to see that.
Hot.
And the thing is, she still looks very good at 71. I mean, even on this series where you see the preview. And, of course, she brings Ray back into the business. He wants no part of it. The thing was, when he jumped off that ledge at the end of last season, he wanted to do no more part of his job.
Right.
He wanted no more part of life. But, of course, knowing this series, he gets back into it. But the cool thing about this series, the preview for season six, is that Terry, his brother, is fighting again. It shows him Eddie Marzen is fighting in an underground fight club all of a sudden. So he's back into it. But there's, you know, it's New York. It's a change of pace for the set for the series. I think it's got a lot of mileage left because, again, I think Liev is just great in this show. He is a producer, which means he has some say in the plot. He gets to kind of look at the scripts. But I think this is one of those understated shows. There's a lot of shows like Game of Thrones that get a lot of the attention because they're over the top.
Right.
They're action-packed. Ray just kind of moves at its own pace. And I like the story. I like the fact they're moving to New York. But the season, if you haven't checked it out yet, check out the trailer. It's Ray. I call it. It's kind of a comeback story, I think, for Ray, because he's obviously away from the job at the beginning of this season, but something's going to bring him back into that life again.
Yeah, he's the most miserable looking guy.
He doesn't
never happy.
And the thing about Schreiber, he actually slashes a lot of Ray's dialogue. They want him to talk more. He's like, no. He just, you know, what does he say? Sure.
Yeah, sure.
That's basically
sure.
his most popular line. But,
sure.
But I think he's just one of those guys who. Who he's kind of like an anti-hero, but he's
you know
not
who
really
else
a hero.
Is a hot older chick? That's Sigourney Weaver.
Tall.
Yeah.
Like her, too.
I
know
still, that's
sidebar.
And she's still working. She's still working, too.
But what else?
But more in news, there was a petition by the cast of the Guardians of the Galaxy to bring back James Gunn, but after a meeting with Disney, the Guardians of the Galaxy director would not be returning to the series, so he is, in fact, done with that. It's going to be interesting to see how they make that third film because the script's already done and it's Marvel, so they're going to make it. So James Gunn will not be returning. The St. Louis native will probably move on to something else. I think he's going to be fine. This is the kind of thing I think where he now a lot of people are going to want to give him money and they're going to want to let him make their movie because they feel that he was wronged by Marvel. Well, I mean, what do you
I can understand that. The first Guardians of the Galaxy movie was absolutely hilarious.
It's
opened
great.
Up all these doorways for the new Marvel Universe to go into, right? The second one was just...
It was bloated.
Yeah, it was. They kind of just repeated the same old jokes. They used the same kind of
like
scene style. And it just... It was okay,
but
it was
show
nowhere
cost,
near
this
as
show
good.
Cost about $175 million, the Marvel Guardians
no kidding.
Show. But I do think it's funny that he had a third script already done, and I want to see if they use that or they give a director the free rein to make a new script. So that's James Gunn is done. But also, Danny Boyle is leaving the new James Bond movie over creative differences. And this is an Oscar-nominated director who was going to direct Daniel Craig's last Bond film, and he's leaving. And this film was getting ready to shoot, so this is a whole new set of problems for this movie.
Now, how hard is that for a director to step in and before shooting starts,
for Guardians,
another one has just walked out for any movie?
It's going to be... Well, here's the thing with Guardians. If somebody wants to use James Gunn's script, that will be easy. They'll just jump right in, and they'll put their own little twist on it. But I think a director taking that kind of a project, a very big movie like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, will want to do some rewrites. So I think it's going to push it back a little bit.
All right, now I want to just sidebar, okay?
Okay, sidebar.
I want to talk about something that we've never talked about, but I think almost everybody has, over the years, wondered about this. What does the director in a movie, he decides... what shots. I want you to come over here with a kind of angle and get this angle, and I want you to take a shot of this, and I want you to, and then they edit all the shots. Yeah. The director, the cinematographer, is in charge of the
camera. Setting
cameras. Up the shot. He's the sort here, of photographer.
Here is my way I've always looked at it. The director is kind of like the head chef in a kitchen, and he's the one that sits at the pass where they all bring the plates up, and he looks at them before they go out to the tables. And so you have the cinematographer is one of the chefs.
Okay, but the director is the guy who decides, I want this close or not so close, or I want a distant shot, I want a long lens.
He basically tells the actor what to do.
Okay, but let me get to the part that's the most important part.
Okay.
I want to hear your explanation of what the producer of a movie, what is that, what does he do, and the executive producer. Who are those people? Here's who I think they are. I think these people are just the people who put up the money for the movie. This Eat, Pray, Love thing last night, at the end, I noticed executive producer Brad Pitt. I think that meant he and somebody else bought the rights to the book, and they put up the money, right? Is that what the executive producer does? They're not on the set calling any shots.
I will say that there is a difference. I'm going to look up the definition, but executive producer is the money guy.
Right.
They produce the money. The producer... he contributes to the film's budget and usually does not work on set. Now, producers are on the set. Like, for example, Liev Schreiber is a producer on Ray Donovan, so he can look over the scripts. He has a little bit of input. They don't really produce money. They just produce their knowledge and their input. So that's kind of the difference between an executive producer who basically goes, here's money to shoot the scene. The producer is the one that's on the set looking at dailies going, okay,
who hires the director? Who says, I want this director?
Usually the producers do. The producers...
Including the executive producer, because he's putting up the money.
So both of them, they get together with the studio and go, okay, how about this guy? Like in the beginning, when Marvel's really well known for pulling these directors out of obscurity, like the Russo brothers, who were doing nothing before they did Winter Soldier and Civil War, and they just said, here, let's give these guys the job. They all get together and go, these guys are good for the job, let's do it. But it's a group of people, the studio, the executive producers, and the producers. But
now, there are people who are both, like Spielberg.
Sure.
Ron Howard.
They direct.
They produce, executive produce.
Like Quentin Tarantino, he essentially writes, directs, produces. Nothing. He has the final say. He is the only chef in the kitchen, let's put it that way. But with a movie like, Peter Berg, Mile 22, a movie like that usually would cost $150 million. He made that for $35 because he is, he co-wrote it, he directed it, he got the cast together, he knows the shooting schedule, and he does a lot of things himself.
Now, when you go to a movie, and this is any movie you go to now, after they do the previews and the silence your cell phones and the THX sound and all that, when the movie is actually starting, before the movie there is a Lionsgate production, and then they'll say Amblin, and then there'll be like five different companies. Now, who are those people? One would be a distributor, and who are those people?
Yeah, because when Warner Brothers would usually distribute the movie.
It's like Warner Brothers in association with Lionsgate.
But if The Rock does a movie, and he has something called 7 Cents Productions, that's his own production company.
Right.
Will Smith has Overbrook Entertainment. That's just people that kind of contribute their own little fun. Usually, whatever appears first is obviously the chief one. And then it trickles down. But yeah, a lot of movies, like a lot of indie movies, will have like 6 or 7 different ones. But usually there's a production studio and then a distributor.
Okay.
And usually distributors like Universal are DreamWorks, which is Spielberg's one, Paramount, Warner Brothers. But yeah, the executive producer is kind of the money, but the producer has a lot more power on the set. What happens? So as far as James Gunn, they'll have to get back together and really find the right guy. It's a very important project.
Okay.
But also, I do want to say happy birthday to Carrie Ann Moss, who's 51. She was Trinity in The Matrix. Very hot woman. She's also on a series called Netflix's Jessica Jones. So, and it also looks very good for 51, so I'll give her that.
You said happy birthday. Do you think she's listening?
I hope she is.
Okay. It could be.
I hope, yeah.
Had the app.
If Trinity came to see me like she did Keanu Reeves in the movie, that'd be kind of cool. But she's a good actress, and she was always going to be known as Trinity in The Matrix. But also, upcoming this weekend, I don't know how to really promote this movie. It's called The Happy Time Murders. It is basically Dirty Muppets and Melissa McCarthy.
I saw the trailer for this
movie on TV. Is it actually Muppets?
It's the Muppets.
It's the Muppets. Yeah. Muppets. It is.
And they're all getting voice, and it's like Melissa McCarthy and a Muppet are detectives.
And it's rated R.
It's rated R.
Yeah.
Wow. And the trailer is so dirty. I mean, for it real? Is.
Well, she's dirty.
There is a Muppet sex scene.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Nope.
There's a Muppet sex scene in the trailer. In the trailer, and let's just say it goes way over the top in the trailer. This movie, you know, I'll tell you what. It looks terrible. I don't like Melissa McCarthy, but I laugh when I watch the trailer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it. That comes
and I can't decide if I like Melissa McCarthy or I don't, because about the time I think I don't like her, I'll see her do something.
And you'll laugh.
Well, like the thing she did with Bill Murray. Where
yeah, St. Vincent.
She was good. And she wasn't that, I'm going to kick your butt. I'm a big fat girl. I can take care of business. She wasn't that at all. She was just an overweight mom with a kid.
98% of her movies are that
one. Would kick your butt.
Yeah, and she has the same joke. So this
but
movie,
you're right. Even if you think you don't like her, you cannot help but laugh.
You'll laugh. So this movie with, you know, the not the Muppets I grew up with, but dirty R-rated Muppets and Melissa McCarthy.
But they're not the Muppet characters. They're those kinds of puppets.
Yeah,
but they're not
very similar, though.
They're not Kermit. Those,
very so. Similar. You don't know what you see until you see a Muppet prostitute in this trailer. Okay? That's how much they go. That comes out Friday. I'll have that review next week. But that's all in the movies.
And what's it called?
It's called Happy Time Murders.
Happy
it comes
time.
Out
now,
this Friday.
If you're ready for a break...
I'm
we'll take a
break.
Come
yeah.
back. Do you have an Uber story?
I got one Uber story.
Ned, what you don't know, he's an Uber driver.
Are you?
Tell him
Uber
how many Uber riders you've done.
I have now eclipsed 1,700 rides.
Wow. How about that?
In 13 months.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, that's like barely over a year. He's done 1,700
yeah.
Ubers.
And really only one repeat. I've actually picked up the same customer once, but other than that, there's been
wow.
a lot different.
All right, what we're going to do is take a break. I don't want that. I've had enough of that until you're really finished. So we're going to take a
yeah.
break, come back, we'll hear your Uber story. That'll come after I take a moment to talk to you about financial planning, which is something that you just have to decide you want to do. You want to get some advice. Some people don't. Now, they think they can do it all themselves, and some people can do it themselves. Now, you look at people, let's say, who are, everybody likes to talk about retirement, but okay, let's say retired, or somebody who maybe in the 40s, in their 40s, something happens. Maybe it's medical. It could be a number of things. And they weather it. They get through it because they were smart younger, and they saved and they invested and they planned. So they're ready for it. Here's another thing that people don't really think about, but you should, especially if you're younger. And it's not too late at 40 or 50. Retirement isn't the only reason that you put money away. That you save it, that you invest it. It's not. It shouldn't be anyway. The difference sometimes between people who are able to have a great retirement or have a great life or get in on something great, a good opportunity, is because they have the money. I'll give you an example. Let's say three or four of your friends say, boy, I got a great opportunity. We need another partner. We got a chance to invest in this new apartment complex. Well, you know, you say, oh, I can't. I don't have the money. Yet somebody else does. Well, they have the money for a reason. They set out to have money so that when opportunities like that came along, they could take advantage of them. Yes, medical emergencies. Yes, retirement. You look at one couple that's retired and they're having a great life and they're traveling and they've got... two bathtubs next to each other looking at the ocean. That's a joke. I don't get those commercials. But they're having a great life. And then another couple, retirement, they're retired, and one of them is a Walmart greeter, and the other one's having to do whatever just to scrape up enough money to supplement the little bit they get with Social Security. You know what that's about? That's about one planned and the other one didn't. It is not always about one made a lot of money and the other one didn't, because I will never forget the story. And it was only about 4 years ago of the high school janitor, the custodian, who died and left that school $2 million. And he was the custodian, but he planned. He invested, and he probably got some advice, which brings me to Mark and Jason, Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. Look, you have nothing, absolutely nothing to lose if you have $25,000 or more. You have nothing to lose by setting up an appointment to talk to them. They are not interested in pressuring you, twisting your arm, forcing you to do anything. You're not obligated. There's nothing to sign. they're willing to sit with you and look at what you're doing with your $25,000 or more. And if what you're doing with it is smart, they'll say, good for you. This is smart. Keep doing this. But if they have a better idea, they'll share it with you. And even if you have a financial planner, why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you do it? It's free. But it's up to you. You get in touch with them. And the way you do that's through their website, markandjason.com.
And it's time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by CarStar Auto Body Repair. There are accidents reported eastbound 70 at Jennings Station, eastbound 44 at 270, and eastbound 255 at Lemay Ferry, westbound 44 brake lights at Kings Highway, and then Arsenal to Shrewsbury, southbound 170. You're backing up at Ledoux, and in Illinois, construction in the left lane, eastbound 64 at Greenmount Road. At CarStar, they repair hundreds of makes and models, but the name on the car isn't nearly as important as the name of the person who owns it, because at CarStar, they don't just repair cars, they repair your car. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. You may not have known this, but before I was in the mortgage business, I was actually a real estate agent. I worked for one of the nation's largest real estate companies and helped many families buy and sell their homes. That previous real estate experience is what really separates us from all these other banks and mortgage companies. The real estate market is hot, and it's never been more important to make sure you're working with a strong mortgage lender. If you're even considering buying a home, get pre-approved today at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
What's this girl's name again?
Farrah Rachels.
Yeah, Farron Rachels.
That's the one, yeah, Farron Rachels.
Time to check in now with our resident Uber driver. 1,700 pickups in just 13 months. This guy spends a lot of time behind. How many miles a year you put on a car?
Well, when we got a car, I want to say, in February of 2017. This is before I knew I was going to be an Uber driver. So in about a year, a bit over a year, I put on about 25,000. I mean, you drive a lot.
That's not much.
It's not too bad. Because, you know, I know at first I was just driving all the time. And yeah. That's not the key. You have to know when to drive. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, weekend nights are great. But also weekday mornings are great. People go to the airport. So the times you don't want to drive are like weekday days where everybody's at work and nobody's getting a ride. At first,
you say you don't want to drive, you don't want to be trying to make any money because there's no business.
Yeah, you're basically wasting mileage. For me as an Uber driver, I want to match my time with profit. And if I'm just driving around where there's no rides, I'm wasting gas, not making profit.
All right, so what's this week's Uber story?
So I had a lot of rides on Saturday. And, you know, the usual mix, people that are going to parties, people are coming back very, very drunk, loud women, loud men. But I got one rider, one guy, and I swear that we talked about everything in this 15-minute ride. It was the last one of the night. It's 3:30 in the morning, and this guy's going home from, he had a friend in Central West End, and he just, we talk
now,
about.
He had a friend.
Who lives in Central West End. He was leaving their house, so he partied at their house. So he's going home very late.
Is he in the front seat with you?
He's in the front seat. And I always encourage. They
Central
always,
West End.
Sometimes they'll
seat.
Ask.
Yeah,
they'll,
I don't know. Okay.
Sometimes they'll open the door and go, hey, can I sit here? It's like, I almost want to say, you've opened the door. Go ahead and get in.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, that's an awkward thing because yeah. What do you say? No.
No. Get in the back seat.
And you know that I always ask to sit up front with a driver in a cab. Or I just do.
It just makes you feel more comfortable. So I do it. Yeah. So we talk about everything. Usually you get three questions when you're an Uber driver. You get the... do you like Uber?
How
long you been doing it, and what else do you do?
Right.
And so we answer all those, but it's only 5 minutes. And then he just straight up looks at me and goes, I have this girl that I like, man. Should I go for it? And I've known nothing about this girl up until then.
Wait a second.
I swear.
The guy gets to the car, he's never met you, and his
never
first thing
met
he
me.
Says is, should I go for
he
it?
He wants to know. I mean, I am basically the guy that it's in the middle of the rom-com.
But you know what? You're like the bartender.
I am.
Ned knows this. He had a bar. People like to get counseling from
I'm
the bartender.
I'm Sam Malone in Cheers all of a sudden, driving a car. But and of course, I have to ask him a few things. I go, okay, well, instead of just telling you yes, I'm going to ask you a few things. First thing is, how long have you known her for?
When he says, should I go for it, does that mean should I try to go to bed?
Trying to ask her out. Eventually, go to bed with her.
Yeah.
But I tell him, I mean, you know, okay, first thing is, how long have you known this girl? I mean, is it, you know, have you known her for a while? And then he goes, yeah, I've known her for a few weeks. A few weeks. But they hang out frequently.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he's been friend-zoned, I guess. And then I ask him, well, the second thing I always ask you is it worth it? Because if you go for her and she rejects you, their friendship's going to be gone. Because it just can't go back to that.
That's opinion, true.
In my opinion. So I ask you, are you willing to risk that? I mean, is she a good friend? If she rejects you, the friendship's going to be gone. And he goes, well, you know, I'm willing to risk that. And I tell him, go for it, man. And you got nothing to lose. I told him to go for it. Now, hoping to pick this guy up again so I can get a sequel. But essentially, I was a driver, but I was also, as you guys
counselor.
Would say, the wise bartender.
Yeah. You know what amazes me about women, and ladies, you need to listen to this. This goes back to Billy Crystal and Harry Met Sally, when he tries to explain to her that men and women, and it is true and it's still true, cannot really be friends. She thinks that you're a friend. Like if a man and a woman are friends, you go, oh, he's just a good friend. Here's what you're missing. He is always wondering what you look like naked. He just is. And he ultimately, at some point, he wants to get you in bed.
It's very hard for
he
a guy.
He plays the friend role. You know, come over and fix something at the house.
I've always thought that I'm amazed that the couples who have broken up and they stay friends, I don't know how you do that.
No.
Because once you've been down that... Yeah. Once you've been down that road, you can't really go back onto the main road. You can't go, okay, we're just going to be friends.
I've always been amazed at people that get married and stay friends. I don't get that.
How can that happen?
I don't know. That's unbelievable. But it is true, that speech he makes, dead on. It's absolutely right.
It really is. It's not easy for a straight male.
Unless this female friend is just really, really, really ugly. Just so ugly you can hardly look at her. Okay. He's probably just, he really is a friend.
Or maybe the fact that he doesn't, his male friends are just kind of crap and he needs a good friend that can be honest with him about the opposite sex.
Yeah, and eventually is going to lead to him getting an erection.
That's right.
Eventually.
I'm telling you. Yeah. The way it is. Is that it?
That's it. That's one good one story. I didn't really have a lot of good juicy stuff. There's a lot of those rides. They come, they get in the car, and they go, and that's it.
Nobody asks you as one of the questions, what's the most unusual or who's the most famous?
Oh, yeah, that's the fourth question. Oh, they always go, any crazy people get in this car?
Yeah.
I was like, well, do you see that gun next to my hip? No.
Ned said famous. You haven't picked up any famous people.
You know, I picked up a hockey player that was in town. His name's Corey Perry. He plays for the Anaheim Ducks. I picked him up. When they were playing the Blues.
Did you know that when you saw
him? I knew it. I knew it. He got in the car, and I was like, that's Corey Perry, and he had a cut on his lip. I was like, yeah, I think you got that tonight against us. But, you know, I wasn't the unprofessional driver. I don't go, hey, Corey Perry, my name's Dan. I like the Blues.
And the skates and the outfit kind of gave it away, too, when he got in with the full hockey outfit on.
Don't you know before you pick them up who they are?
Yes.
What you do is you basically get a notification on your phone like you would a text. And you touch it, and that gives you the ride. You basically accept it when you click on it.
But you don't know as much about you don't know as much about the passengers. The passenger knows about you.
No,
the passenger has your picture.
The passenger has the picture. They has my little profile where
the vehicle you're driving.
Yeah, the vehicle, the license plate number, so they can match it up before they get in the car. But yeah, all I know about him, I don't even know where he's going until I get to the destination and pick him up, and then I say start the trip. So essentially, when I accept the ride, it's giving me directions to pick them up. I don't even know where I'm going.
Oh, you know if you're going to the airport or Omaha.
No. And really, the bad thing is about that is I could be accepting a trip like going like two blocks.
Right.
Because the girls don't want to walk. They don't want to walk to the bar, back to the hotel.
Or it's raining.
Yeah.
There have been people who have taken Uber from, let's say, St. Louis to Lake of the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. There have. The problem with that, you have to charge enough to compensate for the fact that you got to make that trip all the way back.
Yes. And the cool thing is that when I take somebody from downtown out into the county, there's sometimes where I've gotten a ride from the county right back to the same spot. But there are times where I go way out, like down, like, you know, High Ridge even, and I go, man, I hope I can get a ride all the way back into civilization.
For years, I would not say or allow the word Uber to be said because of Laclede Cab. When Laclede Cab was associated with this show, and I love Dave McNutt, great guy, Laclede Cab, great outfit, but Uber has killed a lot of the cab business. It has. And I remember, I think it was a Laclede Cab driver. It could have been a cab driver somewhere else around here, because I know there was one night we came to the airport and we were just beat. We got in late. I just grabbed the first thing I could, and that's the only time I didn't use Laclede, and I actually felt guilty about it. But I asked a cab driver at some point, I said, what's the longest distance anybody has had you drive from St. Louis? He said, Las Vegas.
Oh, my Vegas.
St. Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be a heck of a trip.
Like $1,000.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they took a cab ride to Las Vegas.
I mean, I haven't gotten one that stayed. I mean, the longest one I've gotten is
Wouldn't do it for $1,000.
The longest one I've gotten is where I went from downtown St. Louis about an hour in Illinois. They wanted to go way into Illinois. But I've heard ones have gotten for Chicago. That'd be a four and a half hour trip.
That's a long one.
But also, one time, and maybe I'll say this for next week, but one time somebody got in the car to go to Kansas City, and I was like,
ooh. That's a good haul.
But then she decided not to do it. She's like, oh, just take me to my friend's house. And I was like, man, I was kind of ready to go to Kansas City.
But you can turn that down, right? If they get in and they say,
I'm going to turn anything down.
Yeah, Kansas City. You always have the right to go, okay, well, I didn't think this was going to be a 5.5 hour trip. So
the drivers rate passengers, just like the passengers rate. As a user, an Uber user, you have a rating. And all the drivers rate you. And if you're like a 2, they got to pick you up.
And I will say that through 1,700 trips, I have a 4.96 out of 5 rating. So I'm doing good.
Did you screw up that I'd get 5?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. People, one guy got in the car and was like, how do you only have a 5 rating? You're a pretty good guy. You're a good driver. I was like, I don't know. But of course, people might get in the car in a bad mood. I mean, it might be a time. There are times when people get in the car and they won't talk. And I don't really know. I mean, and I'll start a conversation not knowing if they really want to talk. Maybe that was one time they just wanted to be in peace. Or perhaps I was too quiet and they wanted to talk.
Wasn't there a couple that got in and they were arguing and then they kind of threw you in the mix?
Yeah, they that was the breakup.
It was probably them, one of them.
Yeah, it was probably like,
he didn't take my side.
Gosh, you should have said yes, the guy's terrible.
There is one thing, though, we've talked about this, and one of the reasons I don't think I could drive, especially late at night, people drinking. If you throw up in my car, I would probably just have to shoot you because here's a case where it doesn't matter if it's a big fat slob of a guy or a really beautiful woman. It's still vomit. And if the hottest woman, if Charlize Theron threw up in my car, I would be really mad.
I just would. Let's put it this way. We're going to call this a deep tease. I had a person I just recalled. Now that you say the puking thing, I had somebody that kind of threw up in my car this past week.
Kind of?
Well, not really all the way in the car, but not all the way out of that. Let's put it that way. So that will be for next week. That's a deep tease for next week for the Uber stories. But
that'd be my last drive. I just couldn't
you keep
I'm
your
sorry.
Car so clean.
That's
though.
Right.
I do.
My car's clean too. So I was like, just I mean, I have my hand when they're like drunk. I can tell they're drunk. I have my hand on the unlock button. I mean, it is on there, buried in that thing, so in case I have to whip the car off the road.
The only person I ever in my life, my entire life, remember that's ever thrown up in one of my cars was my older son, and he was 5, and he was cute, so I didn't beat him up. But I'll never forget it, because the car was brand new,
and he was
in the front seat next to me, and we had just stopped. We're on the way to the lake. It was just the two of
projectile
us.
Projectile or?
Oh, my goodness. Into the air conditioning vent.
That's all kinds of
work. And we had gone to some place, and he had gotten a Philly beef and cheese. And we're just riding, and the worst part is it's at night, and we're in Fulton, Missouri, in the middle of nowhere. And I'll never forget this. He just looked at me, and he goes, "Dad, I don't feel..." And it was in the cracks of the seats. It was in the vents of the deck. The car was brand spanking new. That was a test for me, because if ever somebody would murder their own kid, that's probably when it would. I'll never forget it. I thought I'd never get that out of there.
That's
all right,
tough.
You know how to close this.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough.
We've had enough. Also, thank you, Dan Buffa. Glad you got to meet Ned. Ned, I'm sure, is glad he got to meet you. That's Dan Buffa. He's here every Tuesday to talk about movies and TV stuff, and he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. For a lot of good reasons, you'll find out what some of those are at windowworldstlouis.com. Find out more if you actually just have them come out and give you a free in-home estimate, and they'll tell you all about 18 months financing being the same as cash with approved credit. Well, we are mere moments away from some sort of syndicated news that we pump in, because Tim Woodburn's not here, so I don't know where it comes from. But it's legit, and it's real news, and we'll have it. And then after it's over, it's Playhouse, and yet another joke that I've not told since we've been at this station, and we started last October.